Start today the Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 29th of Adar Rishon, 2nd of March, Rabbi Dov Ost Schlitter, Practical Shemitah Shilas. This week's Turaway has been sponsored by Family Lang on the first Yahrzeit today of Mr. Jack Ullman, Rabbi Yaakov Ben, Rabbi Yehuda, Zichrona Livracha.
Morning, everybody. Thank you very much for having to speak here. I just want to start with a story. Somebody once, a boy, it was in America, and the boy ran out into the street in the morning, looking where he was going, and screech of brakes, and bang, shrek-like a story. Boy went flying, couple went flying, everybody was shocked, patsala, paramedics, everybody got busy. And this happened just outside Reb Moshe Feinstein's house. Somebody ran upstairs to Reb Moshe and said, Reb Moshe, the boy just got knocked over outside your house. Wasn't a Yid, he says. But I saw the couple going flying. Wasn't a Yid. But he said, I'm not sure what to say, you can't argue, you know. Went downstairs, you can imagine it was everything there. After making a few inquiries, he found out the Goyish boy had started out with Eid, grabbed his couple and ran out into the street. So he came back to the Moshe, he said to the Moshe, come on, this is unbelievable, it's Ruach HaKodesh. He said, no, not Ruach HaKodesh. Don't profess to have Ruach HaKodesh. He said, it's very straightforward. I was learning at that time Torah Lishma. And when I'm learning Torah Lishma, it's impossible that a Yid should have such a story happen in the vicinity. It just doesn't happen. When someone's learning Torah Lishma, these things don't happen. That's an unbelievable story. When I think about the Torah way, when I think about the people who come here in the morning, every day, start with a shir, with a halacha, with a hashkafa, whatever it may be. We don't know how much this impacts the area around us, how much this uplifts Golders Green, how much this uplifts the area. Baruch Hashem, we should never hear of any stories of any sort. There shouldn't be anything of anyone, no human being, no anybody should be hurt. But we cannot imagine the power of coming together to learn for half an hour a day how it impacts the Seviva. So now coming to practical Shmita Shailas. We're now in the year of Shmita, started Rosh Hashanah and will end with Rosh Hashanah. However, when it comes to the produce actually starts from around, well, it's, in some ways it started from Rosh Hashanah, but a lot of produce which will be coming to the shelves will be Shmita produce, starting from pretty soon, starting springtime, by the time it gets here, maybe Pesach time, whatever, and will continue for quite some time, a year if not more.
There are already products in the shop which are Shmita.
Yes, there are some vegetables.
Vegetables.
Yes, I said some things will be straight away vegetables from Rosh Hashanah time, but the fruit, large part of the fruit which will be coming, and wine and oils and things like that will be starting soon, and will continue for quite some time after Shmita. Shmita is in some ways for us more practically Negea after Shmita. Most of the halachos of Shmita, which will be Negea for us, will be from the second half and then continue after Shmita for quite some time. So let's just discuss a few issues that will arise to people going to supermarkets, to shops, ordering online, buying in your local greengrocer, and things like that. Let's divide up this the question into two parts. We have produce which we will call osa produce and produce which is muta. Produce which is osa has three isurim on it, one of three isurim, if not one or more of three isurim on it, which tells us that it's osa to eat it, and we mustn't. When someone buys it, they can't eat it, and they're stuck with it. It's not something that should be best, not best. It should be avoided, and not be bought. And we'll explain how to do that. And that is anything sold by a non-Jewish supermarket, shop, or something like. They will be getting produce from Eretz Yisrael, and unfortunately, many people in Eretz Yisrael, many farmers, I know the Keren Hashvi has tried very hard to get. I think 51%. They wanted to get most farmers in Eretz Israel to keep Shmita this year. Unfortunately, there's a very significant percentage which don't, and the ones which are being marketed in the supermarkets, and the Tesco's, the Asda's, and the Sainsbury's, and whatever it is, they are the ones which are not keeping Shemitah by simple calculation. The ones who keep Shemitah are being mafkir everything that they produced, and they're not marketing it, they're not exporting it and sending it off to the shops. So the things that are in the shops have been worked on in farms that were not that were cultivated and worked on during Shemitah. They watered the trees, the plants, whatever it is. They tended them, they pruned them, they've done the various malachas which are also in Shemitah, unfortunately. And therefore, the primary issa that's on these peiros is called nevad. Nevad is peiros that have been grown in farms that have been worked on during Shemitah. Nevad, according to most Rishonim, is osa ba'achila. Rambam Paskins also, most Rishonim say that something which peiros, yirokos, things that have been grown from farms where they worked on during Shemitah is osa to eat, and therefore to buy these is it will be pointless. We can't eat them. If you buy them, you can't eat them. Must make one word of caution. I once bought a box of dates. This has nothing to do with Shemitah, but I bought a box of dates, and it says product of Palestine. Not to think that it's not Israel. Palestine is also Eretz Israel, even though it was obviously in Arab land, very very much so Arab land. It was a box of dates, a bunch of middle dates, whatever they are. Be careful when you see these things, they're also from Eretz Israel as well. Palestine is also Eretz Israel. Think about these things. But we'll talk about when it's grown in non-Jewish farms, soon we'll get there. Right now we're talking about the things that are grown in the Jewish-owned land. So, we've got these, the first problem is nevad, things which were grown in farms where they worked on them. The second problem is, as we know, Shemitah meant to be mafkir everything, let everything free and let anyone can come and take everything. Unfortunately, the ones that are being exported and sold have not been hefka, they're not left open for everybody. And that is also another issa called shomor, something which was guarded on Shemitah, something which wasn't left hefka. And that was another issa. Now, this issa, some have shown him a more makel on this particular issa. He didn't actually work on it, he just didn't let people into his field. It's a big machlokes they've shown him. But the truth is, as I said, because of the issa nevad, it doesn't really make a difference. Nowadays, anything that's being marketed in the shops is shomor and nevad. And if it's nevad, we said then it will be osa. There's a third issa, and this refers exclusively to vegetables, and that's an issa called issa sfichim, which is a complicated issa. We won't go into all the details why it is, but all vegetables grown in Jewish-owned land is osa to eat, and therefore one must not buy it. Okay, so when you go to a supermarket, you look at the pack of peppers, sourced in Israel, yes?
So what was the issa sfichim? Besides shomer and nevad?
Shomer and nevad, there's a specific issa sfichim. I could go into it, but it's a bit more complicated.
Why is it different from anything else?
Okay, so sfichim is a gezeira d'rabbanon. I'll explain. Sfichim, the word sfichim means things that need to get planted each year. Vegetables and beans and peas and things like that, crops, which get planted each year. Unlike trees, where the trees have been around for many years, you've got orchards, you've got vineyards, you've got whatever it is, olive groves or whatever, then they don't plant them every year. You have to work on them, you have to do the various things, you have to water them, you have to prune them, you have to tend them, but you don't have to replant the tree every year. When it comes to vegetables, they need replanting each year. Now, theoretically speaking, if something grows, if there's a person who had dropped some seeds before Shemitah, either because it just fell out from when they last were harvesting and things fell on the floor and whatever, things grow by themselves. Theoretically speaking, anything which grows by itself should be mutter because he didn't plant it in Shemitah. He planted it before Shemitah, or it got planted by accident and it grew by itself on Shemitah, and he's coming along in Shemitah and he sees he's got this, oh, one minute, got some peppers here. Where did they come from? Well, I must have dropped some seeds here. Okay, nothing wrong with that, theoretically speaking. And that would be called sfiach, which is mutter to eat, theoretically speaking. Chazal were very worried, this is already from the times of, right from the beginning of Rechlekes, Rebbe Kiva, and Chachom about this in the Gemara, and Chazal were very concerned that people will be, one night will come along, plant their field quickly in the middle of Shemitah, nobody knows, nobody sees, and the next day they say, ooh, this must have come by accident, you know, and will be planting deliberately, but and covering under the cover of the fact that it could have grown by itself. So the Chazal said, anything which needs replanting each and every year is osa to eat, whether it grew by itself, whether you planted it, it doesn't make a difference. It's always osa. And therefore, that's what's known as Svichim. There are a number of leniencies in Svichim, which we will talk about soon, but again, things that are things which we'll find in the shops, or in the non-Jewish shops, the large supermarkets or whatever it is, online shopping, will by definition anyway be nevad, as we said. Vegetables will be Svichim as well, that's it, it's a Svichim in Rabbanon, and probably will be Shomor as well, primarily nevad, and therefore we're also to buy them. So a person goes into the supermarket and he sees peppers, superb product of Israel, sourced in Israel, you know, the country of origin, Israel, he leaves them there. That's very easy. Watermelons, whatever it is, avocados is quite common.
Leaves.
Yes, but avocado, okay, I'm saying, when the avocado is coming from Eretz Israel, so they're still nevad, they've been worked on in Shemitah. So that's not the Svichim, but they will have the Issa Neva, they've been worked on in during Shemitah, and they'll be Osa. Then the avocados which we have now, today, and if they're part of Israel, are not Shemitah, because the Shemitah ones haven't yet grown. The ones which are being marketed now are still last year's crop. But the ones which will be, and as I said, it continues for quite some time, the exact dates you have to know about each fruit of, when it comes into the market. But the avocados right now are not Shemitah, but they will be, I think, around midsummer time, I think, the avocados start coming in. So he comes and he sees there's whatever it is that he's got from the country of origin, Israel, he leaves it on the shelf. That's easy enough. If he, by mistake, accidentally bought something, put it in his shopping cart, checked out already, he must not return it. Because returning it, now he's got it. He's got these perishables. He paid for it. Now, perishables are not chomet. They're not osabah, no, that you can't own it, you know, you've got to put it, throw it away, you know. You can't do anything with it. Osabah achila, the ones which are on the, as I said, the goyishal supermarkets, the nevad payers, they're osabah achila, but they're also to hold on to and have in your house. So, he's now got them. He can't give it back to the shop, can't return it, even though they'll take it back, no problem. But he can't return it because he's now giving something which has got kedusha shviyas to a goy who's going to put it on the shelf, and that you can't do. Us must not give payers which you've got kedusha shviyas to a goy, because you're degrading the kedusha by letting them use it the way they're going to use it. And this doesn't mean to say that a goy can't eat payers shviyas, by the way, either. And Eretz Yisrael goyim are allowed to eat payers shviyas. Nothing wrong with letting them, but you can't actively give it to the goy because that will be degrading its kedusha. So returning it to the shop is not an option. So first thing to do is not to buy it. If someone bought it, you have to keep it at home, leave it in a bag, let it get rotten, and then throw it away. Can't throw it away straight away, because that will be input the peyotries. You'll be ruining the peyotries by throwing it into the bin. Leave it in a bag, we've had that ourselves. We bought some radishes very recently. Accidentally, mistake, these things happened, and it's from Israel. So that was it, so we left them go rotten.
You put it straight away in the green bin?
Putting it straight away in the green bin, then we'll be making them go rotten more, because it's sitting there in all the rubbish and everything that will be actively destroying. If they're wrapped up in a bag, then possibly you could put it in a bin. I'd put them in a bag and just left them outside. They went rotten, didn't take them that long. They went a bit rotten, and then just get rid of them. Once they're mouldy, once they're no longer edible, so then you can throw them away. You're not destroying them by throwing away, they're already ruined. Online shopping. This is very, very common. Online shopping. Now, I must say, I wrote in my book, new book, Shmita book, that I wrote here, I've got Hilchos Peirush Shviyos, everything I'm saying here is, and more, is in the book. The online shopping, I spoke to Rabbi Greenberg just yesterday about this, because someone had mentioned to me that what I've written here, he had said differently. So I'm going to say what I wrote here, and then I'll tell you what he says, and then we'll work something out. I understood that when you're buying online from the large supermarkets, and I checked up into Tesco, I believe I checked up, but that's why I researched it to the best of my ability, was Tesco's, Asda and Sainsbury's. You order online, you finish your basket, you do it, you put the order through, they haven't yet taken the money from your card. They come to the door and they unload all their things, and you look at it and you say, whatever it is, let's just not talk about Schmidt, let's just talk about whatever it is. Cartons of juice. You say, no, this is not what I ordered. He said, no, we substituted it for something else. He said, no, I don't want this type. Okay, take it back. So he takes it back, no problem. And he marks off that he's taking it back. This is very common, happens all the time. And They haven't yet taken the money from your card. That's how I understood it. They haven't yet taken the money from your card. Until you accept it at the door, they don't take the money. When you've taken it all in and you walk away, the guy takes it on his machine, then he says, that's it, the order's been delivered. That's when that money goes through your card. That's when the sale actually happens. This was how I understood it. I understood this was true also as far as Chometz is concerned, people who make orders on Motzei Pesach, and it arrived half an hour early, and open the door half an hour before Nacht, and he's there with all the cereals. I understood that the thing to do then is to refuse it at the door, because as long as you haven't actually taken it in, you haven't actually bought it, they haven't taken it off your card.
When is this person over it?
It's dangerous today because the new law with the COVID, so just put it in front of the door, make a photo of the item and go away.
Okay.
They show you a photo.
Amazon, not the supermarket. It's not the supermarket. Amazon does it.
We'll talk about Amazon in a minute. Amazon has their own.
When did this person all raise his comments? Couldn't have been on Pesach.
No, you all did it before Pesach. Really? And you put the delivery date for Motzei Pesach an hour after that, and they turned up early. Or whatever. These things happen. So I understood, and I asked then, and I looked into it then. And again, I'm going to tell you in a minute what Rabbi Greenberg said. I understood then that the sale only happens when you accept it. And therefore, if you unload, unloading, and you see, hey, these peppers are from Israel, you say to the fellow, no, thank you, these peppers, I'm leaving. Can you take them back? He doesn't need to know why. He ticks it off that he's returning those, and nothing's happened. I spoke to Rabbi Greenberg yesterday, and because I heard from someone, I gave this share on a Monday evening, and someone had said to me that Rabbi Greenberg had said differently, and he said he was under the impression that the card gets the money goes off the card that morning, although he wasn't 100% sure, and he had sent it as a shayla to the Bezdin for them to mivar. He hasn't got time to look into it and work it all out, so he had sent it to the Bezdin to find out. So this happened yesterday. So one needs to know when is the actual transference of ownership happen. Does it happen in the before the delivery or after, or only when they've delivered it? If it happens before the delivery, then you're stuck. You bought it. You bought them already. You can't return it to him again, even if he will take it back, no problem, and refund it, because you've bought it and you're returning it. And like you said, if you accidentally buy something from the shop, you can't return it. So
we had a share about the Pesach situation.
Right.
About that question, the Pesach situation.
And what was it? We
were told that you're allowed to change your order, I think, until midnight the night before or something, until it altered to 12.
Yes.
The midnight, yeah. At midnight, on the night before, all the transactions go through. A bulk transaction happens at midnight. And if you receive an order and you give something back, then you'll find that you've charged the full order, because that happened midnight the night before the order was delivered. And then you get a credit afterwards on your bill, dated the next day.
Mm. Okay, but was that...
It makes sense. It makes sense. Why should
they do one big bulk transaction at midnight every night of all the orders that have been confirmed, which can't be changed anymore.
Sure. Yeah, so I understood that the order can't be changed. I thought that was for the delivery purposes. The order's gone through. The order's gone from the computer to the dispatch system.
The Mindshear and that Shear said that's how it works.
Okay, so I must say I've got to... this month needs more research then. Yeah. Exactly how this works. Yes. Before buying online, you have to...
The card doesn't give the fake tours. If a person purchases something on a credit card and he has no intention of receiving it, doesn't want it, and the person booked it for him, so why should it be a king?
Right, but why... You didn't tell this to the supermarket when you bought that, I don't want anything from Israel. So if they give you something else, if you buy something and they say, well, that's not why I ordered the chalats. So that's make achtos. But this, you ordered peppers and you got peppers. I did hear this from one time, but I spoke to someone else, and he said, since this is, you didn't make no stipulation in the order, and you don't, when you're clicking this online, you're not specifying, I don't want anything from Israel. So if you say, I wanted peppers, and they delivered the chili peppers or whatever it is, you say, well, this is the wrong product. So wrong product, so then you're right, make a toss. But this is, you ordered peppers and you got peppers. You didn't say you didn't want peppers, you want peppers from here and not from there. You just said you want peppers. Well, that's what they delivered you, so what's the toss? So you can return it, as far as they're concerned. You say, you don't like them, you can return them. But it's not make a toss. It's not, we didn't do the wrong thing.
If it's not make a toss, you can't return them.
So if it's not make a toss, you can't return them.
Is, it's returnable. So it means it's a Kenyan and you're being mapping it back.
You're mapping it back. They'll take it back because there's their returns policy. Right. They're very happy to take back things. There's customer service. They'll be very happy to take
you
back.
They say sometimes they're allowed to substitute similar products.
Yes.
So let's say you don't have peppers. They give you chili peppers, but then that's similar products. To you, it's not. So that becomes even more complicated.
Yeah, but there, at least you, when you return it, yeah, you need to give.
Because then, in parts of my purchase, is there allowed to?
Yeah, if that would be the case, and you come back with the chili peppers, and you say these chili peppers are from Israel, and I ordered peppers, then that might, then you can clear. There they clearly give you the option of they agree that they're giving you something which you didn't ask for. It's a substitution, and they're just saying, do you like this one or not? You know, this is what we're offering you because you haven't got this. Would you like this instead? Yes or no? You can say no. So by saying no, that's clearly a method of telling.
That option of being able to return can be interpreted in one of two ways. Either that you've never made the Kenyan in the first place, or that you made the Kenyan and you're returning it, so then you have to be mapping it back to there. It's a big enough given that they cover the shit.
Yes, but I'm saying when it comes to normal returns, halakhically it's defined as a Kenyan with a resale back. Okay, so online shopping, we'll have to really look into this more again and research this exactly when the transference of ownership happens. One thing I can say for sure is Amazon Fresh, which is I think Morrison's, Amazon Fresh, when they deliver, they have a no returns policy, they have a refund policy. As with all Amazon packages, you can't return it to the guy at the door. If you don't want it, you can print off your return label and he'll pick it up again and return it. And when it comes to Amazon Fresh produce, they don't come and pick it up anymore, they'll just refund you. If you don't like it, if something was wrong, if it was outdated, or if it's the wrong product, or whatever it is, you tick the various boxes on the computer, and they'll refund you the money. They won't even bother picking it up, because to them it's not really a resellable item anymore. Once it's been transported to the customer and then brought back, it's not for them, it's not even the same. It makes it yours.
No, just because I'm doing you a favour, I'm disposing of... For you on your, that's what they say.
But they're saying with any Amazon product, it's yours and you can return. And in this case, you can't even return.
But what would be the case where they give you the wrong product in Amazon Fresh?
Oh, if they really give you the wrong product, then it's as you say, it's a mekach tos. But in this case, when you order Amazon Fresh and you come along and you say, well, everything else is fine, but these avocados are from Israel and you don't want them, so you go online and you say, I want to return or whatever. But they don't have an option to tick the box for returning it because it's wrong country of origin. But let's just say you say whatever it's out of date, whatever you say, whatever, I don't know, you can't really say that. But you get your refund. The mice said you bought it and it was yours, and therefore you're stuck with it. There's not a problem because you're not going to get it back anyway. You can maybe you halachically have to know Choshmish, but whether you can ask for a refund on it. As I said, their options don't include wrong country of origin. Because that's not a reason for them to refund things.
Probably will be next year if you're buying wine, let's say, online.
Yes. Yeah. Wines and oils.
Wines and oils.
Which have a very long shelf life.
Yeah.
And if it's a product of Israel, this can go on for quite some time. So wines, you're not really buying from kosher supermarkets. And if you are, then they've got a good hechsher from, the Kedem wine, or it's American. It's got nothing to do with Israel. Anyway. Oils, if it's oil which is produced in Israel, which you could easily be buying in a, that could very well be... For quite some time, this could go on for. To be aware, to have to keep eyes open for these sort of things. That's online shopping. Right, now let's move over to Jewish supermarkets, Jewish shops, Jewish groceries, whatever it is, grocers. This runs into a big question, two big questions. One is, as you mentioned just now, Heta Mechira, and another one is called Yivul Nachri. Heta Mechira is a very, very, very dodgy, controversial heta. I'm not the one to get politically involved. Most rabbonim, from rabbonim, will tell you heta mechira is not a valid mechira, and it's considered that the whole thing is a bit of a trick, and it's unfortunately nevad. One should avoid it at all costs. Heta mechira is where the state of Israel sell at land to a goy, and then they say, okay, now it's kosher land, we can do what we like on it.
I think a resolution made it in the emergency.
It was?
For emergency.
It was the Chazanish was, all the rabbanim were very, very, all the rabbanim were very, very against this notion. The state of Israel would never sell the whole of Eretz Israel to an Arab and have it recorded in the land registry that this whole of Eretz now belongs to a goy. That's the last thing they're going to ever do. The whole thing's a bit of a joke. There is a different thing called Yuvul Nochri, and this is very common, where you have genuinely owned non-Jewish land, which is plenty of them around, and the Mishnah talks about this and says, Machziki Midei Nochri B'Shvias, we encourage a non-Jew who has got a farm to produce as much as he can, because he's an out of work. He's got absolutely no issue whatsoever to do whatever he wants on his farm. He owns it in a very genuine way. He's a genuine farmer, non-Jewish farmer, Arab farmer, whatever it is. And why shouldn't he work on his field? Why shouldn't he produce? And let him. Has he got Kedusha Shvi'is? Yes or no? This is a very, very old machlokas from the times of the Beis Yosef in Tzfas and the Mabit in Tzfas. Both of them is in the 1940s. No, not 40, 1490s, 1490s. Yeah?
Is it halakhically allowed to sell a piece of land in Israel?
That's another issue. Are you allowed to sell a piece of land in Israel? That is Mechira, we're not going to go into it. I don't want to get involved in it. It's, as far as we're concerned, it's not an option.
Renting
is not called sold.
You should land on rent his field to an Arab, genuinely.
Yes.
Very problematic.
If it's genuine, you say you do properly.
I'll give a tenant lease.
That's fine, yeah, that's right. But if he would do it just for the year and he'd do it just to get around to that, it's not a... No.
Well, if you said made in Palestine, you'd probably...
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So these dates which I bought, which were a product of Palestine, they were for sure from an Arab land, and therefore there was some... The point wasn't Shemitah, but if it would be in Shemitah, there would be... There's a question of the Beis Yosef and the big machlokes, because again, I've got a nice long essay about it in my book. How it works with Yuvul Nochri. It's called Yuvul Nochri, or sometimes it comes as another name.
That's also phony as well, because Palestine is Eretz Yisrael.
Absolutely, it's Eretz Yisrael, but it belongs to a goy. But it's Goyish's own land in Eretz Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef was of the opinion that it does not have Kedusha Shvi'is, the Mabit was of the opinion that it did have Kedusha Shvi'is. This Machlekus went on for every single dough. We have two options. One, some say this way, some say that way. Big opinions on both sides. This controversy, but this machlokes lasted ad hayom hazeh. Till today, the Badatz Yerushalayim are following the Beis Yosef and say that there's no Kedusha Shvi'is on let's call it Arab-grown produce. And the Chazon Ish and many others say that there is Kedusha Shvi'is on Arab-grown produce. Today, the Badatz Yerushalayim, who, as I said, B'shitta will say that it's not Kedusha Shvi'is, they'll still, out of deference to the Chazon Ish, print on their Hersha Yuvul Nochri. So you should know that they're being makel and saying that it's not Kedusha Shvi'is, but we know that the Chazon Ish says it is, and out of deference to the Chazon Ish, they put on their bottles of wine. You'll see quite a bit, it's common bottles of wine will have a Yuvul Nochri. The packages of salads, these chopped lettuce and things which come from Eretz Yisrael, would say on it Yuvul Nochri. The big het of not of Yuvul Nochri the big heta of Yuvul Nochri is that there's no svichim. So salads and lettuce and things like that, it can belong to a goy. You can treat it with Kedusha Shvi'is, but it's not svichim. And if it's not svichim, it means that issa which I mentioned before about things that are grown, need replanting each year, is no issa. So, and there's certainly no shomer b'nevad. The goy is allowed to work on his field, he's allowed to stop people coming in. He's got no mitzvah to keep shmitah. So they'll be arriving in the shops, especially this, as I said, these packaged salads, these cut up lettuce and things, whatever the ones which are knocking from Tuloyim, and all these the ones that they bring, and bottles of wine, oil, things like that. Will have an Yuvul Nochri. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman famously said that people living in Eretz Yisrael, where they are very limited in their options of what they can buy and what they can't buy because of the most of the produce there is from Eretz Yisrael, and there's so much that's also to eat at all, or whatever, they're so limited, they can be making like the Badats and eat and follow the Beis Yosef and eat and treat Yuvul Nochri not as Kedusha Shvi'is. Someone who lives in Chutz Laretz, he said, why should you be making on Yuvul Nochri? It's such a big machlekes, it's such a big machlekes with heavies on both sides. Why should you be making when you can go to so much other availability? You shouldn't be makel and say that Yuvul Nochri has not got Kedusha Shvi'is, rather treat it with Kedusha Shvi'is. Now, treating with Kedusha Shvi'is isn't so scary. If you learn the halachas, it's really not so bad. You're buying it, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to enjoy it as one would normally do. You can, wine you can use, oil you can use, vegetables, if they're not svichim, but let's see if they're Yuvul Nochri, so they're not svichim, so you can eat them. You just mustn't ruin them, you mustn't throw them away, you mustn't destroy them with intent. You can't So wine for $5, pouring that wine over that dollar, pouring it, even letting it go, spill over, that not. Arabicosis to dip in, also.
If you peel,
in.
To what? If you peel a fruit from your...
Peeling a fruit, so all this is discussed at length. There's a lot of halachas, as I said. I've got my new book brought out now, available at the back. Peeling fruit and vegetables, if it's peeling it the way it's normally peeled, normally, fruit that normally peeled this way, it's not a problem. Watermelon or something, you know, you cut away, you don't... You can't cut right to the green, right? It's going to be inevitably there'll be some red there. Doesn't matter. You can treat it as normal as long as you don't leave large portions and throw them away, or a piece of, like a whole watermelon, and throw, you know, a whole piece of watermelon or a whole whatever it is and throw it away, or misuse it in a way that would not normally be used. So making compote out of nectarines. Although nectarines, people do sometimes make compote, but it's not the normal. Nectarines are 90% eaten raw, and the ones that are going a bit mold is that you cook them up or whatever it is and make a compote out of them. So making compote is changing its normal way of eating it. And
normal
eating
for the bad one to be using to compote.
Yes, but the bad ones and the good ones aren't two different minim, it's one min. Whereas cooking apples and things
juice.
Like that, what?
Oranges.
Oranges. So oranges, I'm making orange juice, which most of the oranges nowadays are made into orange juice.
Yeah.
Yes, more oranges are made to produced for orange juice than produced for thing, and lemons even more. Lemons, most of them are made into lemon juice.
Types of oranges which are made for orange juice.
Yes, but even though there's different strains, different types, the class of oranges is one group. It's a big machlokes whether you can make orange juice into the Biskolov said you can't. Chaznish, he said, if you've got some, if you've got bits in, then you can. If it's still got the oranges with bits, you know. Many postkim are making and say you can make orange juice out of oranges. It's the normal thing. Beer as well, made out of barley and things like that. Hops. Okay, we're running out of time, so we'll stop there. For further details, as I said, they're in my book. You can all have a look.
Go ahead.
It's my book now. Okay.